Check. Good. Well, Happy New Year to everybody. It's my first time seeing some of you all since the New Year, so Happy New Year to you. We have a long way to go and a short time to get there, so we're going to get to going. I want to pick up, I think it's chapter 6. We were talking about the power of covenant, the process of decline. Last time we was actually together in person. And I didn't want to leave you in chapter 6 on the negative, showing you the negative part, because the negative can show you where we are now. And you can look at all the things that the author is saying, and you can see that's what's happening now in the body of Christ in the church. You can see within the last really 25, 30, 40 years, you really just now are hearing the church talk about prosperity, even though prosperity has been part of the body of Christ for a long time. But you're just now starting to hear it within the last 30, 40 years of them really talking about it. And as I keep stating, the reason why the church has not been effective is because of apostolic order has not been in place. All right, I'm really harping on that because it's very important. Because matter of fact, we talked about this before, but God set up a precedent that is very powerful, and people like to gloss over it and not pay attention to it. Go with me again to Genesis the 14th chapter, because I need you to understand why apostolic order is important, and why being connected is important. A lot of people don't realize the power of connection. Or let me say it like this, the power of covenant. They don't realize the power of covenant. A lot of times, once again, because we have been trained to be self-centric with the gospel. Remember we talked about that? Instead of being God-centric with the gospel, a lot of times we read scriptures from a self-centric point of view, not ever realizing that it was coming from a God-centric point of view. All right, so in Genesis the 14th chapter, latter part of the 14th chapter, I'm not going to be there long. I want to show you the power of connection and power of covenant. If you look where I think I start talking about Melchizedek, right? What verse is it? Verse 18, where it said, "This Melchizedek, he showed up, and Abraham gave him tithes of all." Now, I've always asked the question. I keep coming back to the same answer. Here it is, somebody who is finna do an act from the heart that was made a law later, giving tithes, and God didn't receive them. Melchizedek received them, right? But if we go to Hebrews the 7th chapter, we see who Melchizedek really was. It was God. Melchizedek was God made flesh. So my question is, why did God become flesh to receive tithes of Abraham? The reason why God became flesh is because that is how he's going to accomplish his agenda with apostolic order. There has to be connection between God-fearing men and women. There has to be a connection. What's the connection? The connection is God's agenda. So now, God made it very simple. In the Old Testament, it seems to be very simple. It seems like in the New Testament, it seems to be a little more difficult to access God's agenda. And the reason why it's harder to access God's agenda on this side of the cross is because we've taught salvation. We taught the splitting of the curtain where God is now all over the face of the earth. We've taught that as a license and a key to go do it on your own. Are you seeing this? And so what happens is Satan has used that as a trick to keep us divided. So that's why stuff creep into the church, because there's no singleness of agenda. When there's no singleness of agenda, that means other doctrines can enter the church that has not been biblically proven. So this is why you have, we talked about it before, this is why you have trouble with people talking about homosexuality in the church. That's not a discussion. That's not a debate. This is why we have people talking about grace out of context, because they want it to fit their agenda. Go with me to Galatians 3. Galatians 3. Talking about connection, talking about covenant, and why the church is not as effective as it should be. Because we're going to get into what happens when we do, when we get it together, when we get in divine order, when we get in apostolic order. Galatians 3. Very familiar scripture, Galatians 3:13. I'm going to read verse 13 and verse 14 because I want you to see something here. Verse 13, Christ has what? Redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, right? Verse 14, that the blessings of Abraham, what? Might. Come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we what? That's the second time. Might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. All right. Here's what Galatians 3:13 is not saying. Galatians 3:13 is not saying there's no consequence for sin. It's not saying that. There is a consequence for sin. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is, actually wages, the payment. Right? But the Bible says Christ has redeemed us from what? The curse. The curse of the law. Not the consequences. What's the difference between a curse and a consequence? A curse is you can't do nothing about it. Once you have been cursed, no matter what you do, you're going to get the results of the curse. So when Galatians 3:13 tells us Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, redeemed means we're put back in our former position, right? Former position. What former position? The position. Let's be very specific. The position that Adam and Eve was in before they decided to get their source of information from somewhere else. So we have to go back to Adam and Eve and see what was their agenda before they ate the fruit. Are you seeing this? They had one agenda: to spend time with God. Why were they spending time with God? So they could be trained. So they can be trained for what? To go into darkness and bring light. Are you seeing this? So now we cannot just say we have been redeemed from the curse of the law and try to make it seem like we're redeemed from the consequences of sin. Are y'all getting this? See, grace is an empowerment. It empowers us to do what we can't do on our own. So when we operate in the grace of Christ, what it's saying is it's empowering us to live holy. See, this is important because without holiness, you can't walk in God's agenda. Because without holiness, you can't walk in his power. That's why I don't care who it is. I don't care how anointed you think they are, what are you seeing them do. If a man or woman of God is in sin, they are powerless. Powerless. And watch this. When that space to repent is gone, God is going to withdraw his hand. Because if God keeps his hands on somebody who's in sin, then it's no reason to get born again. It's no reason to make a decision. See, we cannot escape. We cannot escape. We cannot escape. Say it again. We cannot escape personal responsibility. We can't escape it. My point for taking you on this journey is, when we talk about connection, when we talk about covenant, we have to, it's our choice to do this. It's your choice. It's my choice. It's not something that you're forced to do. Are you seeing this? And because of grace, you are empowered to make that choice and to fulfill it. See, Paul was he depended heavily on the grace of God. Because the grace of God is what caused him to be who he was. Are y'all seeing this? So the church steps away from grace. How do they step away from grace? By trying to redefine grace. See, when you try to redefine something God has already defined, that's when you start running into problems. Are you seeing this? So we cannot redefine grace. We have to let grace be what God designed it to be, which is an empowerment. When I was a sinner, the Bible says I'm saved by what? Grace. That means I have been empowered to live a holy life. So 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 say, for you know through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, who what? He became what? Poor. That we through his poverty might become rich through the grace. So because of grace, I may be broke, but I'm empowered to be rich. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power. That's grace. You can easily read that scripture like this. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee grace to do what you couldn't do before. See, every time we try to redefine what God has already defined, that's when we get into trouble. And that's the purpose for apostolic order. That's the purpose for an apostle. An apostle structures doctrine. Once again, none of us knew how to get born again until Paul said it. To be honest, if you go and read the gospel, Jesus talked about salvation all through the gospel, but he never talked about how. Nicodemus say, what? I got to, what do you mean? I got to get back in my mama's womb? What I got? I got. You understand what I'm saying? But Paul came in Romans 10th chapter, verse 8, 9, and 10, and told us line upon line and precept upon precept how you get born again. Doctrine is structured by an apostle. So watch this. In the Old Testament, the apostolic was easy to follow because, watch this, Moses come in, he said, kill the fattest lamb, take the blood, put over your mantle. Watch this. They didn't have Jesus or the Holy Spirit inside of them, right? So they had to go with somebody who had the ear of God. On this side of the cross, it should be easier for us to do it. Because I have the Spirit of God on inside of me, I can recognize the Spirit of God in somebody else. See, having the Spirit of God on inside of me does not give me the power or the grace to go be independent from everybody else in the body of Christ, or to go do something God hadn't called me to do. The Spirit of God living on inside of me is there for me to recognize where God is moving at in the earth realm and connect. Is this making sense? See, in the Old Testament, I mean, the Spirit of God was kept in an ark, was kept in a tabernacle behind curtain. So everybody pretty much knew where God was residing. And they knew when God was speaking because, watch this, because when God spoke in the Old Testament to these men and women of God, things happened. Are you seeing this? So here we get on this side of the cross, and we think because now Christ lives on the inside of us that we can be on our own, on an island by ourselves. But that never was what it's supposed to be. It was because we got Christ on the inside of us, we should be even more closely connected. Are y'all seeing this? So here we are in the latter part of this chapter. Chapter says, go to page 52. I said all that to say this so you can understand when the church comes together under apostolic order, this is what happens. Number one, God intervenes for the righteous. He intervenes for those who are righteous and take a stand in righteousness and truth. Other words, when a group of people come together and they stand for what God stands for, not for what they think God stands for, but what they know God stands for, God then comes and intervenes. Let me tell you something. The United States of America in the next few years is going to have a come to Jesus meeting. How many of y'all know what a come to Jesus meeting is? And the reason why is because now there's starting to be apostolic order that's popping up all across the country. That's why stuff looks so chaotic right now. Because apostolic order is resetting itself. It's already started in other countries. But in America, it's starting to set itself. Apostolic order is starting to set itself. So therefore, watch this. Now God can come in and begin to judge. See, why God has not been able to come in and judge the evil that's been happening in this country? The reason why is because his leaders have not been apostolic. They've been having that denominations. They have their own agenda. So when they have their own agenda, God can't come in and start correcting things because they're going to think they're doing it right. They'll think, oh, God can't come in and cause judgment to happen, because if he come in and cause judgment to happen in the state and the state that the church is in, then the church is going to think it's right and continue to doing what it's doing. Are y'all getting this? You see? So God intervenes for those that take a stand for righteousness and for truth. All right? Number two, the second thing that happened. God finds a man or people, man or woman or people, who are willing to ride against the tide and against the majority that are corrupt. I mean, coming against all kind of crazy doctrine, all kind of foolishness. That is plainly in the Bible. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish covenant that he swore to you upon earth. This day, man, now, how can you preach about poverty when that scripture in the Bible? How can you do that? How can you preach about poverty when you got Psalm 35:27? How can you preach about poverty when it says in 2 Corinthians 8:9 that Jesus became poor, that we through his poverty might be rich? So you got to be able to stand and take this flack of people that say, all y'all just is about money. No, we ain't just about money, but we know we need to have some. Are y'all getting, you see what I'm saying? Y'all walk by faith. Y'all believe in it. Listen. This is who I am. This is what I believe. Are y'all saying this? Number three. This is important. God comes in full manifestation. This is what happens when the church started getting apostolic order. God comes in full manifestation. When God comes in full manifestation of his power and his love, he comes full of zeal and full of passion. That means God excited to come do some stuff. He excited to bless his people. He excited to empower his people. He's excited to do things for them that he ain't able to been able to do for other people. Number four, God separates the enemy for judgment. I just said this. God comes down and begins to judge those that are trying to stop his agenda from coming to pass. See, that's why I don't go around arguing with people. Go around arguing and fighting and trying to convince people. When judgment hit, they're going to run. When things start getting chaotic and nobody ain't got no power to stop it but the church, they going to run to the church. I just won't be already there. Are y'all seeing this? Number five, nations bow before the sovereign hand of God. Now, this is what I love. The sovereign hand of God. See, we know God is sovereign. God can, which simply means God can do what he wants, when he wants, and how he wants. That's sovereign. But God is not going to take his sovereignty and overrule our will. So this is why we have to choose to be in alignment with his agenda. Because when we're in alignment with his agenda, then the sovereign hand of God can come in and begin to change things that we couldn't change on our own. Number six, God raises a distinctive generation. When God raises a distinctive generation who have chosen to win by righteousness and a transformed lifestyle, God will make a fresh covenant with them and begin a fresh move for the reformation of the church and a transformation of cities. See, normal living, you have a right to end world system status living. Or what the world system called normal. You have a right to end that status. You need to understand that your apostolic house that you're connected to, that you need to tap into that connection and remind God, you can remind God, I'm helping you. God, I'm with what you're saying to this house. See, whatever is on the house comes on you. Now watch this. It may change arenas wherever you at, whatever arena you in. The same grace that's on the house rests on you. I want you to see this. But you have to expect that. I don't care what you see. Remember now, we can't change. Watch this. You can't let what's on the outside affect what's on the inside. You have to let what's on the inside affect what's on the outside. See, a lot of us walk around not realizing that our connection is important. See, when you got born again, when you got saved, that didn't mean that stuff was going to stop happening. That didn't mean that you weren't going to run into no brick walls. What it did mean, though, is because I'm born again, I have a right to move walls. I have a right to run through walls. I have a right for doors to be open. Are you seeing this? Matthew 6:33. But these doors, walls, obstacles cannot be moved just because I'm confessing them to be moved. Matthew 6:33. We'd have been there many times. Watch this. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. So now, watch this. With my connection, I'm connected to an apostolic house. I'm connected to an apostolic order. I'm connected to God's agenda. That means that when I look to fulfill what God wants, where I'm at, that means whatever obstacle, whatever wall, whatever mountain that is in my way has got to be dealt with. It ain't no if it's going to be dealt with. It will, it shall be dealt with. But what I have to do, I have to recognize that because, watch this, because I'm apostolically connected, I now carry a power that can change things. You don't have to change them, but you carry a power to change them. That's how a distinctive generation is built. When people who recognize their connection, right? Connection to an apostolic agenda. Now, see, we get caught up on the human part of it. We get caught up on the human part of it, and when I say we get caught up in the human part of it, God always did associate an agenda with a human. Oh. Go to Genesis, the 12th chapter. Go to Genesis, the 12th chapter. Go to Genesis, the 12th chapter. This is why God became Melchizedek, so Abraham can tie to another man, because he always wanted to have his agenda to be represented by a man. Am I making sense? Watch this, Genesis, the 12th chapter. Now the Lord has said, verse 1, and the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless God. Is that what it says? Who is thee? Abram. Here is God giving Abram an assignment, giving Abram an agenda. Then he turns around and tells Abram, watch this. This is God telling Abram, I am going to bless those that bless you. So now, if I'm reading this and I don't want to be blessed by God, what I'm going to have to do? I'm about to bless Abraham, right? So if I'm living in this time and age, right? And God says, Abraham, I'm make your name great. Now, I'm going to bless those that bless you. So that means if I wanted to be blessed, if I'm living during Abraham's time and I wanted to be blessed, what I'm going to have to do? Wait a minute. Hear it. Watch them. I'm going somewhere. I'm setting you up. Watch this now. Here it is again. If I'm living during Abraham's time and I want to be blessed, what am I going to have to do? Because God said, I'm going to bless those that bless you. Who he's talking to? Who God is talking to? Abram, right? And he said, I'm going to curse those that curse you. Anybody try to stop you, I'm going to stop them. Then God left it on a positive note, because this is what God is expecting. Until all the families of the earth be what? Blessed, right? Right? Go back to Galatians, the 3rd chapter. Galatians 3rd chapter. Watch this.
verse 14. Christ, verse 13, watch this. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it's written, curses everyone that hangeth on a tree, right? Why? Verse 14. That the what? Blessings of that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Jesus died. Watch this. Jesus died and put us back in a former position so that we can be directly connected to God's agenda like Adam and Eve was. Right? When you got born again, it says you became a new creature. Right? Old things pass away, behold, all things become new. Right? That means that God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit is now residing on the inside of you. Right? So now because God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, listen to the internet, is residing on the inside of you, with them on the inside of you, they're trying to attract you to somebody else who has it on the inside of them. So this is why God speaks to you about who you're going to be connected to. This is why your spirit is drawn to them. Because the Jesus on the inside of you is attracted to the Jesus on the inside of them. Right? Now watch this. Once the Jesus on the inside of me is attracted to the Jesus on the inside of them, that means now heaven can be open. Heaven can be open. Now why is heaven open? Heaven is open so now I can receive instructions. I can receive insight. I can see things that I couldn't see before. I can hear things I couldn't hear before. Because now, watch this, because the Jesus on the inside of me is connected to the Jesus on the inside of my leader, that means I'm apostolically aligned. So the thoughts that God has been thinking towards me can now be released. And when they're released, if I seek them first. See, this is why you have a lot of people going around as a Christian trying to figure out what God wants. You don't have to try to figure out what God wants. When you let the Jesus on the inside of you draw you to the Jesus on inside of them that has the agenda from God. See, all God was telling the people in that time was, Abraham has an assignment from me. Now, if you want to get my attention, then you're going to have to get with Abraham. Are y'all seeing this? So this is why your spirit is attracted to your leader. Because it's apostolic alignment. And more so now, because we're really understanding what the apostolic is, it's going to become more vivid. It's going to become more intense. It's going to become even clearer. I mean, just by simply acknowledging connection, just by simply acknowledging connection, there are things that are happening to you that didn't happen to you before. You ain't done nothing yet. You just say, God, I believe you connected me to this man or woman of God. I believe what you told them. God, you spoke to me a number of times through their mouth. They didn't even know it. But you give me answers. Are you saying this? That's how God builds a distinctive generation. And 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and number 7. Then God can execute his will. Listen to the internet. When God gave Moses those instructions about killing the lamb, taking the blood, putting it over the doorpost, it was the obedience of the people that were connected to Abraham that let God do what he wanted to do in Egypt. If they had not done that, If they had not put the blood over those mantelpieces, the death angel wouldn't have come. Why? Because God killing his whole next generation. It was the firstborn, right? So if the death angel come through and kill all the firstborn, then it means God is ruining his next generation of his chosen people. See, what we got to understand is God has eternity to get his will done. He has eternity to get this done. The question is, are we going to let him do it during our generation? See, people don't realize, when God, in Malachi, the fourth chapter, last book in the Old Testament, to Matthew, the first chapter, it was a space of 400 years. God ain't saying nothing to nobody. God ain't saying nothing to nobody. He wasn't talking to nobody. He wasn't saying to nobody. Why? Because he got tired of dealing with people that wasn't hearing him, that was trying to make up rules as they go about him. So here it is. God said, I mean, can you picture this? God said, oh, yeah, 400 years. Look, I ain't saying to nobody. They're going to get their mind right. I ain't saying to nobody. They won't do it on their own. Go ahead. There you have it. There you go. 400 years until John the Baptist was born. So can you imagine 400 years of God not talking and man left up to himself to figure out who God is? But because of the birth, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, that no longer has to be. We don't have to go around wondering what God is saying. All we have to do is allow the Jesus on the inside of us to find the Jesus in somebody else who God has assigned. And here's the wonderful thing about it. There's no art to it. There's no science to it. Your spirit is going to let you know. However it may be, wherever it may, whatever it have done, all of us have our own individual stories of how we got to where we are, how we got connected. Ultimately, it was your spirit being drawn. Are y'all seeing this? God can execute his will when we as a church are apostolically aligned. He can execute his will. Otherwise, he can't do it. If they had not obeyed, if they had not, 2 Chronicles 20, if they had not done what the prophet or the man of God had said, they would have got devoured by those five armies. Are y'all seeing this? See, when you apostolically align, God can then execute his will. And guess what his will is? His will is always to put us on top. No matter, his will is always to put us on top. Go with me to chapter 7. Now that we understand the power of covenant, why covenants, why should we be in covenant of power? What the lack of covenant does and what covenant does. Or let me say this, what the lack of connection does and what the fruit of connection is. We saw the society in decline, and we saw what happens whenever the church is realigned, the power that the church possesses. Now we need to define covenant. This chapter is going to be very detailed. We're going to define covenant. The very first paragraph is very important. A covenant is defined as a declaration of an oath of allegiance through an agreed document with the fixivity of law and absolutes with the view to implement a system of sanctions to provide social continuity and government through elected representatives for accurate implementation of the said process. That's a long definition. I'm going to go over here. We're going to break the definition down. I want you to see that. A covenant is a declaration of an oath of allegiance. It is verbal.
What's the importance of being verbal? The importance of why, when you speak something out, when you say something, when you say something, when you speak something out, heart. I hear people say stuff, but I want to watch what you do. Because people can lie. But your actions, you know that's true. The old statement, if a person show you who they are, believe them. See, so what the first step in covenant is that your mouth has to be aligned with your heart. Your mouth has to be aligned with your heart. If it's not in your heart, don't swear to it. don't have no allegiance to it. And see, this is very important because once again, we go back to Genesis, the 12th chapter, right? When he said, people like to ride on, I will bless those that bless you, but they ignore and curse those that curse you. In other words, God would say, Abraham, I'm going to empower those to prosper that empower you to prosper, but anybody that tries to stop you, I'm going to stop them. So this is why it's important that your mouth line up with your heart. Because if your mouth don't line up with your heart, you can get yourself in some trouble. Are you seeing this? Once again, this is why you cannot just come in a covenant quickly. Because when you come in a covenant, you are verbally making an oath to an allegiance. So you don't want to come in a covenant with somebody quickly. You don't come into covenant with somebody you don't know. What I mean, you don't know. You had to take time to analyze and to watch them. See, I'll tell people in a minute. I'll tell them in a minute. People trying to join LTMA, I won't know, have you been in any of Dr. Thompson's meetings? these are legitimate questions that we ask in interview. Have you been to any of his meetings? How long have you known him? Because you better be sure what you're asking for. You get what I'm saying? Because I don't want you to write no checks your behind can't cash. Other words, I don't want you saying you connected and then Dr. Thompson makes a change and you don't like it. Because now if you start running your mouth about what you don't like, now you trying to curse. Are you seeing this? See, this is why your mouth got to be lined up with your heart. You just don't come to covenant. I do not believe in this getting married quick. No. We got to find some stuff out. You understand what I'm saying? Oh, we just in love. We just go get. No. I'm trying. You got to find out their ugly qualities. I'm being serious. See, I'm not being disparaging when I say this. You have to know your leader's qualities, all of them. They're not perfect, but what you don't want to skip over, their heart perfect toward God. I got a prime example for you. Noah. Noah was perfect toward God. But Noah got carried away with his success. Got intoxicated over his own vineyard. Got drunk. Three sons. One went in there disrespectfully.
And when Noah came to himself, Noah said, you're going to be cursed. And that's strange. Here it is, Noah in the wrong. Noah in the wrong, but his son handled him wrong. When Noah got sober again, Noah said, oh, that's how they went down. You're going to be cursed. And guess what? God backed it up. That's why you don't come into covenant quickly. Because if you can't handle it, don't get involved. If you can't, don't leave it alone, because you don't want to get yourself in no problems that you don't want to deal with. Am I making sense? See, because, let me say, if I said every, and I'm closing here, every man or woman has a choice. Every man or woman has a choice. God ain't forcing us to do anything. But when you say you're going to do something, and then you enjoy some of the benefits, and then something turns and goes a different direction, like you don't want it, then you start complaining, now you get yourself in trouble. Ask Ananias and Sapphira. Do you know why? Do you know what happened with Ananias and Sapphira? I'm closing here. If you read Ananias and Sapphira, just don't read that. I think it's Acts the fifth chapter. Just don't read the fifth chapter. Read the fourth chapter. The latter part of the fourth chapter said they all came to Peter and said, we don't have everything that was ours is everybody's. So we're going to sell our houses and land. And we're going to bring the proceeds and lay them at the apostles' feet. Right? So watch this. Really, let's go to the fifth verse. Let me prove it. Let's go to the fifth verse. The fifth chapter. When you get in the fifth chapter, you see Ananias and Sapphira conspired to lie. Now, wait a minute now. Why do you have to lie about what you're going to bring? You lie about what you're going to bring because obviously it was more than what you expected. See, watch this. Didn't the Bible say it sold for more than it? Right? So now they're trying to figure out, we ain't expect this house to sell for this much. This is a lot of money. We can use this money. Right. But you don't use the power of God.
Right.
Because the power of God, the grace, is what caused it. So now you want to go and renege. So now you just become a curse. Are y'all saying this? So this is why you don't, this is nothing to play with. This is why you don't come in a covenant quickly. Because you want to make sure that your mouth lines up with your heart. Is this making sense? So this is why people, and especially, see, you can play that game in denominations. You can play that game in denominations. They play it all the time. They run games in denominations. Politics here. I'm trying to get elected to the general board. I'm trying to get elected to this. So I'm trying to get elected to that. So I run game. You can get away with that in denomination. But see, in the apostolic, you ain't get away with that in the apostolic. Because you have leaders that are perfect toward God. So what I mean by that? All they want is what God wants. So now God has finally found some people that's willing to let him work through them to get his will done in the earth realm. And here you are trying to get in the way. That's why it's best to walk away if you ain't planning on. Right. See, because you don't want to put yourself in a position to where you become a curse. I know I'm talking about the curse a lot, but this ain't the apostolic is not. Listen, one thing you must have. And this is my last statement. One thing you must have in the apostolic. Matter of fact, I want you to write this down and underline it as many times as you can. The one thing that you must have in the apostolic is a pure heart. You must have a pure heart, because the agenda of God will always uncover every other agenda. It will always uncover every other agenda. So you must have a pure heart. A pure heart towards God. God, I want what you want. Because if you have any other agenda, God on purpose will cause that agenda to squeeze you out. I've seen it happen over and over and over again. People go to a church, they have ulterior motives. They sit there for years. Then all of a sudden, God starts turning the bolts. Things getting tight up in here. All of a sudden, what they old statement? Pressure bust a pipe. All of a sudden, pipes start busting. And you start saying, okay, I see where he was. Now that's just not for the church. Remember now, you're connected. So guess what? God will begin to expose people around you to have other agendas. That ain't good, that ain't trying to do you right. God will expose them every time because you have that connection. If he is if he will expose it in the church, he'll expose it in your house. He'll expose family members. He'll expose uncles, aunties, cousins, friends. He'll expose them and let you know they ain't for you. Watch them. You got me? We'll continue next week.